morning. Starting off a little different. I don't sound as good as they do, do I?
Hey, just very brief, we're going to do our announcements up front, and then we're going to roll right on through the worship, okay? If you have your bulletins, you need to pay attention and look inside. There are a lot of important things coming up as we move closer to Christmas. But some of the important things, the Christmas Fellowship dinner directly after church today, so please stay to attend that. It's going to be a good time. Very important, Wednesday, December 13th, that's this coming Wednesday, prayer meeting canceled, Bible study canceled. The reason why is because there's a Christmas concert here at Open Door Baptist Church. It will start at 7 o'clock, okay? It's about 45 minutes long, and then directly after that, there will be a cookie, coffee, punch fellowship, okay? So I ask you to stay for this. I've met some of these people. They're really, really great people. And one of them is our own, is Tammy Moffitt. So please plan to come out for this concert, okay? And then also the Christmas party there. Everything else, I'll let Pam take care of, all right? Oh, let me pray first. Father God, just thank you, Lord, for this day and the day that you've given us to come into your house. Lord, this day to worship, this day to sing praises unto your name. Lord, let us do it with a joyful heart. Let us do it with a heart that's prepared first before you as we come to you in prayer. Ask you to forgive us of our sins, Lord, that there would nothing stand between us and you for this next hour, Lord, and that we, Father, will receive from you the great word that you have for us, and that you would receive from us the worship that is due you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Last week, you gave $180.46. This is from the offering plate, from the noisy offering, and from what was given online. At this time, I don't have any way to access how much is given through the International Mission Board link, so I ask that you please do not scan the QR codes that are on the posters or anywhere. So please just give the way you have in the past. You have an insert in your bulletin. It talks about God's work through the IMB in 2022. So take a look at that. I'll just give a couple of highlights. 728,589 people around the world heard the gospel, and 178,177 of them became new believers. So this is the work that our International Mission Board missionaries are doing. Please continue to pray for them. If you are able, please give. And thank you.
We're your IMB missionaries. We're your IMB missionaries serving around the globe, both in church planning and in scripture translation for the deaf peoples. Right now, we're in West Africa, where we're working with five different sign languages, five different deaf people groups, to emphasize church planting and scripture translation for these deaf peoples. We wanted to come to you today and say thank you, Southern Baptists, for the efforts to support us in prayer, for the gifts that you give, and for the other ways that you provide support for us every day of the year. And so we are grateful to you for all that you do. Thank you.
Kids up here with us today, they're going to open us up with our first Christmas song, and we all please stand as we begin to, let me turn on my equipment here, that would be helpful, as we stand and sing Joy to the World. Hey Kathy, hold up a second, I think we're in the wrong key.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. One more time.
And heaven and nature see, and heaven and nature see, and heaven and nature see,
seeing all these little kids going around. Isn't this awesome? All right, we're going to stand and continue worship this morning. We're going to sing a little bit about God's mercy.
Praise the Lord, His mercy is more.
Deserve, but I get what God's mercy has for me. Amen. I messed up my rhythm. I'll try it again.
One day when heaven is filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Word became flesh and the light shined among us, His glory revealed. Mary, He carried Thank you. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. There's one way, Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. He is Lord, Lord of all.
Shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, and faultless stand before the throne.
Father God, we just pray that when that trumpet sounds, that in Him we will be found. Lord, I just pray that all of us, Lord, would seek Your righteousness, that we would seek the salvation of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, because that's the way to be found. So, Lord, I just pray that today as we look at Your Word, Lord, that You will speak to us mightily and powerfully. Lord, that You will give unto us a security in our salvation, a hope in our life, and a joy in our heart. And Lord, we just want to come and to worship You as You deserve to be worshiped, not just in song and praise, but also, Lord, into giving back to You what You first gave unto us through the gifts of money, Lord, that we would honor You in that way as well. We would worship You in that way. So, Lord, we ask that You bless the both gift and giver, and that all these funds would be used to the further of Your kingdom. And, Lord, as always, if I'm going to say something that's not true, that's not of You, that You would silence my lips and not permit me to speak, but rise up the one to speak for You this day. Why? Because we're here for Your glory and for Your honor. And it is in Your name that we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, that was good. I'm impressed. Does smell good in the house of the Lord today, doesn't it? We hope you all stay for the dinner. Now, let me just a quiz. What's going on this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock? All right, as long as you get, now you have no excuse for not being here, right? All right. If you have your Bibles, open it up to Esther chapter 5. We're in a series in Esther's entitled It Just Happens. Now, most of you know what has happened up to this point, but let's just review so that we are all on the same page, okay? It just happened that Mordecai and Esther stayed in Susa and did not go back to Jerusalem when they were released by the king. And it just happened that Queen Vashti, that was the first queen, that Queen Vashti was ousted. She get out. And it just happened that Queen Esther was taken along with 400 other girls from across the empire. It just happened that among so many girls, the eunuchs were partial to Esther and went out of their way to be very kind to help Esther. And it just happened that Esther just happens to be Jewish and she just happens to be beautiful. It just happens that Esther is favored by the king, right? She found favor in her right away. Mordecai just happened to overhear a plot to assassinate the king. It just happened that a report was written in the king's chronicles. This is going to come back to be very important. It was written in the king's chronicles. Haman just happened to notice that Mordecai refused to bow before him. Haman just happened to learn that Mordecai was a Jew. When Haman plots his revenge, it just happens that the dice that were thrown, they threw lots, right? They cast lots, indicating that the date for the exacting revenge on them was to be put off for almost 1 year. And it just happened that the edict that went out on the day before Passover, it just happened that Mordecai learned all that had happened. We don't know how that happened, but he just happened to learn it all. It just happened that Mordecai, realizing all that was about to occur, dressed in sackcloth and ashes and wailed loudly at the king's gate. It just happened that Esther received word that Mordecai was making a scene that only a Jew would make at the king's gate. It just happened that Mordecai got word back to Esther that she too was a Jew, and she too would not escape the fate of the Jews, which was they were going to be destroyed. It just happened that Mordecai had some sort of epiphany that perhaps Esther had come to this place, a Jew in a position of a Persian queen, for such a time as this. It just happened that way, that she just got that position. And after receiving the news from Mordecai, it just happened that Esther garnered up some powerful courage, some sort of resolve, right? And in chapter 4, verse 15, this is what happened, right? This is where we're at. We're coming up. We're leading to where we're at now. That Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And also I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." Chapter 5, verse 1. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in the royal house facing the entrance of the house. Now, out of this came this truth that in desperate moments, God calls us to act by faith, and that in itself will diminish our fears. People with faith who act up in their faith can stand against most of their fears. I'm not saying they don't have them, but you can face them differently. Now, watch verse 2. "So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of that scepter." So now we see that somewhere with inside of Esther rose up, that dwelled up, it came up, this quiet courage. That was last week, if you remember, that quiet courage. So let's move on. All you're excited to see what happens next, aren't you? This is like a suspense story, right? Verse 3. So this is what happens next. "And the king said to her, 'What do you wish?' Now, if you have an ESV or the Holman Bible, it says it this way. What is it? And the king said to her, what is it? What do you wish? Same thing. Queen Esther, he's saying, hey, queen, what's wrong? What's troubling you, Queen Esther? What is your request? Whatever it is, it shall be given to you up to half of the kingdom. So Esther answered in this, it says, verse 4. So Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for them. Now this morning as we walk through chapter 5, I want to show you the faith that enables us to do this. Point number one, trust God's timing. We need to trust God's timing. That's easier said than done. Trust God's timing, not to just express a quiet courage, a quiet faith, a courage to step out, but also to accept and trust God's timing, because this whole thing is wrapped up in God's timing here. That's what's happening here. It's really kind of fascinating, actually. And look at what happens, because the king is going to speak to Esther, but she must have looked as if she was troubled. Because look what it says. You understand, right? Right, husbands? Y'all understand. You can tell the face, you can tell that face on the face of your wife. Right? Or husbands, your wife. You can look at their face and you can know if they're troubled or not. Right? You can look at them, you know. But the king says to her, what is it, Esther? What's troubling you? That's what he says, right? Notice what he calls her that, the queen Esther. He says, what is your request? It shall be given to you up to half the kingdom. So that's basically saying this. All you have to do is tell me what you want, and it's yours. All you've got to do, Esther, is just let me know what you need, and it's yours. What's your request? I'm not going to hold anything back from you. Whatever you want, you're going to get. And Esther said, verse 4, so Esther answered, if it pleases the king, let the king and Haman come today to the banquet that I have prepared for him. So here we go. She says, I prepared a banquet, and the king said, verse 5, then the king said, bring Haman quickly that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman went to the banquet that Esther had prepared. At the banquet of wine, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? It shall be granted to you. Now again, he's asking her a second time here. This is the second time he's asking her, what is it that you want? Tell me what you want, what you really, really want, all right? What is your request? Up to half of the kingdom, Esther, it shall be yours. It'll be done. Esther, just ask me, just get it out, and I'll give you whatever you want. Now, verse 7, folks, you've got to just look at this, because something happens at verse 7. Something happens at verse 7 that gives you a tip-off that she was almost ready to tell him, but she stops. And if you've been coming to any of the Wednesday night Bible program, Bible studies and listening about how to study your Bible, listen, punctuation has a lot to do with the text. It really does. Look, she's ready to tell him, but she stops. And let me tell you, in your Bible, most likely you've got a colon there and a space after that. So there is something that just happens here. Look at it in verse 7. Then Esther answered and said, my petition and request is this. Semicolon, pause, space. She said, my petition and request is this. And there's this pause. You can almost see it in there. Now, I don't know, but I feel like she is about to tell him what it is. And she hesitated and she waited. And I think it had to do with God's timing. Now, I don't think she understood all of God's timing. I don't think Esther understood all of that. Lord knows I don't understand all of God's timing. I'm just putting it out there. But I think at that moment, there was something that set off in Esther and that says, I better wait on this. I better slow my roll a little bit. I better wait on this. Now, it's not the right moment. I better wait. And so she says to him, look in verse 8, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, then let the king and Haman come to the banquet, which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king has said. So here we go. Listen, one more banquet, one more day. They're at a banquet. Now they're going to have another banquet the next day. Esther is saying, just wait. Jump through one. Hey, king, you need to jump through one more hoop here. You need to get through this one thing. It's like setting a fleece out there. It's almost like they're saying, listen, just come back to the banquet tomorrow. One more thing. And then I'll tell you if you do this. Now, on the other hand, on the other side of Esther, let me tell you something. This is the response I would have expected out of Xerxes for this, from this experience. It would have sounded something like this, I believe. Woman, you better tell me right now what you're doing. You better come up with it. Tell me what's happening, what's going on. I want to know what's happening, and I want to know now. And you know, he could have done that. He could have done that, and if she didn't, he could have killed her. But notice, he doesn't say a word to her. He doesn't say anything to her. There's a lesson there, fellas. So she's got this man wrapped right here. She got this man wrapped right around her little finger, and I see some of you women smiling. She's got him wrapped right around her little finger. He doesn't say a word. He just goes along with it. He never, ever denied Esther anything that she requests. And now every bit of this enters into the timing of God. Because in that 24-hour period, God is going to do two things. One, he's going to let Haman plan his own death. Right? He's going to let Haman plan his own death. Haman don't realize it, but he is. And two, he's going to keep the king awake all night. Now just watch, look with me, because everything shifts right here. Look at verse 9. So Haman went out that day joyful and with a glad heart, but when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate and that he did not stand or tremble before him, he wasn't afraid, he was filled with indignation against Mordecai. It just burned him up, made him furious. Now, he's just absolutely beside himself, right? Haman is absolutely beside himself because Mordecai doesn't seem to be bothered at all, right? But look, Haman controls himself. He doesn't lose control. Look at verse 10. Now, I want you to see what an egomaniac will do. In a moment when they are really agitated, an egomaniac, when they are really agitated that everyone hasn't done exactly what they want them to do, right? Look at verse 10. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, and he sent and called for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. So he gets all of his friends and his wife, he gets his family together, right? And he begins to recount what he has done. Verse 11, then Haman told them of his great riches, the multitude of his children, everything in which the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the officials and servants of the king. So he gets all of his friends. Haman comes, he goes out of here. He's kind of frustrated, and he controls himself, and he goes and gets all of his friends in there together, all of his family in there, and he starts by, let me tell you everything I've been doing. I've done this, I've done that, I won this, I've achieved that, I earned that, and the king did this, and I got that. And there is nobody in the kingdom, he's telling what they're saying here, he's saying there's nobody in the kingdom with more power than me, other than the king. There's nobody in the kingdom with more power than me. There's nobody that has the favor of the king like I do. Look at me, look at me, look at me, not me. He's saying that. There's nobody that has the position like me. What do we say? Power goes to the... There's nobody that has a position like me. Now, let me tell you something. Something I've learned is that people who have an ego, they like to recount all the things they've done. Just like Haman. They like to recount all the things they've done. He just went on and on. These are all the things I've done. Now, verse 12. Moreover, Haman said, besides, Queen Esther invited no one but me to come in with the king to the banquet. I'm special. Into the king to the banquet that she prepared. And tomorrow I am again invited by her. I'm still special. And along with the king. Now watch this. Watch what he says next. Look at this. It says right there that Haman said after he recounted all of this, he was not satisfied. People with power are generally never satisfied. He was not satisfied. None of it satisfied him. He's that if I can't get that one next thing, look at verse 13. Look what it says. Yet all this avails me nothing. I do this, I've done that, I'm this guy, I'm that guy. I've got all this power, I've got all this position. Yet all of this avails me nothing so long as, one more thing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. So you've got everything in the world. This is Haman. He's got everything in the world. Everything in the world except for one lonely, bony, skinny old Jew who won't stand up or won't bow when you come by. So what? So what? It's a power. It's power. And yet, it just absolutely eats him up, that one thing. And his wife has heard it and heard it and heard it. Wives, now you know what I'm talking about, right? You heard it, you heard it, you heard it. It just won't get off of it until she just says, look at verse 14. Why don't you just kill the guy? Why don't you just kill him? Look at verse 14. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high. That's 75 feet tall. 50 cubits high. And in the morning, suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. Look what it says. And the thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows built or had the gallows made. Now let me just let you in on this. This is great pre-dinner conversation. Back then, they didn't hang them with a rope like they did in the Clint Eastwood movies. They didn't hang them that way. Nobody said, okay, boys, go get a rope. They didn't use ropes on a platform or a trap door. They didn't do that. Instead, they would take a pole, 75 foot. They would take a pole and they would shove it through a man and stand it up. Now, that's unpleasant. And yes, it is exactly what you're thinking. That's how it would have been. And it's horrible and it's absolutely unbelievable. And they wanted a 75 foot pole. Get the picture of that. That's 7.5 stories tall. And they were going to skewer Mordecai on it, run this pole through him, and stand it up so people could see. And you would be able to see that clearly from several miles away. Kind of almost like a cross on the hill of Calvary, kind of, maybe. But there's the plan. That's what God let Haman do in the 24-hour period between the two banquets. He let Haman come up with this idea now. But now in that same 24-hour period in chapter 6, listen, we're not going to get there today, but God just happens, right? But God just happens to keep the king awake all night. And he keeps the king awake all night long so that the king says to his servants, bring me a scroll out of the library. Bring me a scroll out of the library. And they just happened by chance to bring a scroll. You don't allow to say. What scroll do you think they brought him, that the king that couldn't sleep? I told you just a little bit ago that that was going to come back to be an important thing. Remember when Mordecai saved the king's life and then they wrote it in the Chronicles? They bring a scroll that outlined how Mordecai had saved Xerxes' life. Perfect timing, isn't it? Just perfect timing, right? They bring him a scroll how Mordecai had saved Xerxes' life, and you'll have to turn in next week for that, okay? That's next week. But that's what's happening. That's what's taking place here. In God's timing behind the scenes, that's what's happening. Now back to Esther. Back to Esther. Notice how this young woman has enough faith to trust God in a moment like that. Now the question that comes up out of this is this. This young woman had enough faith to trust in God in a moment like this. The question is this. Why don't we? I want you to ask yourself that question. Why don't we? What is it about us that causes us to jump out ahead of God where we want it on our terms and we want it now? Think about it. Isn't it true? Everything in our culture, everything in our society today, everything in our society today pushes us to make a decision now, rapidly, fast, quickly. Got to know now. Listen, some of you all are sitting here and you're gearing up, thinking, time's up, we've got to get going, we got to move on, we got to get to the next thing. We're already moving toward the things that we got to do in the rest of our day, the things we got to do next week. We're already starting to think about them. And listen, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of this. If you're busy, you're guilty of this. But I want you to listen to this. In his book, Social Acceleration, Hartman Rosa informs us that the speed of human movement from pre-modern times, let me say that again, he informs us that the speed of human movement from pre-modern times, that was close to you, huh, Roy? Right? There's nobody to pick over, it ain't that old. He informs us that the speed of human movement from pre-modern times, that's when the Industrial Revolution began back in the 1830s. From pre-modern time to now, human movement has increased by the factor of 100. You get that? The human speed has increased by a factor of 100. I just got to throw this in there. Every time I put this in here, and every time I read that and gone over that, every time I think about that, I think about Zeke being stuck behind me. I don't know why I do, but I just do, right? I'm pre-1800, see? But it's true, right? Who asked you, right? Now watch this. The speed of communication has skyrocketed by a factor of communication has skyrocketed by a factor of 10 million in the 20th century alone. And data transmission, information being transferred, data transmission has soared by the factor of around, I want to ask you this question. What do you think that factor is? How much? Oh, you were close. Anybody else want to take a guess? 10 billion. Data transmission has soared by a factor of around 10 billion. Do you realize that Generation Z, that is those born between 1997 and 2012, if you were born between 1997 and 2012, just raise your hand. 1997 and 2012, you've been born in there? Z, right? You've never been offline. Do you know that this is amazing to me. I have to laugh at this one. Do you know that in 1.4 seconds, you move on, that if it hasn't downloaded, you move to the next site and to the next site and to the next site. 1.4 seconds. You're pushing a button, it doesn't come up, you're moving on. Pushing that, you're moving on. Can you imagine that? 1.4 seconds is not fast enough. I can't say 1.4 seconds in 1.4 seconds. I can't even read 1.4 seconds in 1.4 seconds. You seeing this here? We are all, and we're, listen, we want that next thing. We want it now. We want to got to have it have faster, more, now. And listen, we are all the same way. That the accelerating pace of society, it comes to a point that it resets our internal timers, which then go more off in response to slow things. We like the fast. We want it. We like it. We want it. So, but what happens, and it resets our internal timers. It resets how we respond to slow things, putting us in a constant state of rage and impulse. Zeke stuck behind me. Yeah. Hurry up. Meaning this, we are getting to be more and more of an impulsive society. We can't stand slow things, things that hinder our time. Right? For instance, how about when you get in the grocery line and then someone is going just as slow as they can go? Beep. Well, how are you ready for Christmas? Oh, no. Really? I'm so sorry to hear that. Bleep, bleep. Oh, well, how about your husband? How's he doing? Oh, you've been there. And someone is just going as slow as they can go. What does that do? Let's be honest. It drives us nuts. And I'm just going to say it drives me nuts. Listen, I went to Hobby Lobby the other night. If you loved your wives, men, you'd go too. And we're in this, every checkout line is plastered, so we got the shortest line. And there's some woman up there in front of us. There's another woman here, and then it's me. We're here. And the lady up front, she checks out this buggy full of stuff. And then she starts to walk away. She went back to the lady. She goes, oh, I forgot this. And so and the lady goes over, reaches over and gets something, this and that. And she scans this and that and whatever. And the lady behind her went, pushed her buggy over, shoved it against the wall, and walked out the door. And I'm thinking, sweet, I don't have to wait behind her. Right? We just can't wait. It drives us nuts, right? Like if you're walking in Lowe's, or even on the sidewalk, and there's someone walking slow in front of you, around you. What do? Come on, Donna, let's go around them. Normally, when Donna and I go somewhere, it's usually like this, honest to God. She'll verify. If we're going somewhere and we're wherever, I'm like, you just go, I'll catch up. Why? She falls into this sin right here. Now, if you want to put all of this into perspective, do you know that we walk 10 times as fast as people did in the 1990s? We walk 10 times faster than people did in 1990. They obviously did not time me. And it has to do with our internal clock that everything now is just immediate, immediate, immediate. You get the point, right? We are impatient. We've got to move to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, faster, faster, faster. And because of that, we've never learned or we have forgotten how do you get before God and wait on God's timing. You hear me? This is the point. We've never learned or we've forgotten how do you get before God and wait on God's timing. How do you do that? What Esther has already shown us. Faith and prayer. Which oftentimes, even as Christians, we leave out. But this girl, Esther, could wait on God's timing by faith and fasting. Now let me show you the last thing, and it is this. It's a faith that disciplines our response. Faith disciplines our response. You know, I'm sure that if I had been in her place, I'd been in Esther's place, and And the king extended to me the royal scepter and said, what do you want? Right? I would have pointed over to Haman and said, I want his head right now on a silver platter. I want him dead immediately. That's what I want. In a fishing boat. But Esther didn't do that, right? She didn't do that. In fact, she went and she made a banquet, and there's another aspect of discipline right there. She had prepared a banquet. Now, she didn't dream that up in that moment. I've got to tell you this. I'm reading into this. I'm going to tell you this. She didn't dream that up in that moment. This had to have been planned. She just didn't walk in there and say, what am I going to do? I mean, she walked in there knowing that her head could be put on a platter right there, but she also had to plan for the fact, what if it doesn't? What am I going to do? Now, she had already prepared a banquet because it would have taken several days to prepare a banquet. And you say, well, she would have had servants to do all that. Yes, she may have had servants to do all that, but she would have had to oversee every bit of it. And remember, she had not eaten for 3 days. So, I'm fasting for 3 days preparing a banquet. The discipline in preparing a banquet for somebody, and you have not eaten for 3 days. It wouldn't have happened with me. I couldn't have done it. That's my faith. I'm not talking about a big, incredible faith. So the discipline comes from where? It had to come from her faith. It had to come from her fasting and prayer. She has activated a faith, small as it may be. Remember last week, I told you I didn't believe her faith was a big faith. Her faith definitely was not a perfect faith, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is this, is the object of her faith. And then there is this personal discipline, right? There's this personal discipline of sitting there through that whole banquet. You know, she could have never had any idea what was going to take place in those 24 hours. She had no idea what was going to happen in the next 24 hours. Only God knew what was going to happen in those next 24 hours. But Mordecai's life is going to become immediately in danger. That as soon as Haman can get to the king the next morning, they're going to kill this guy. And she could have not known that. She could have not known that the king was, she also couldn't have known that the king was up all night reading a scroll about Mordecai. She wouldn't have known that. She could have known that. And out of that personal discipline, it gave God that time to put his plan in place. Spiritual discipline. We don't like the word. We don't like the term. Spiritual discipline means to wait on God. To wait on God in a quiet courage to do what he's called us to do. So where did that come from? Well, let me wrap this up, all right? I'm going to wrap this up. Where did that come from? Here's the interesting thing. I closed this with pointing to Christ last week. So let me go back and do that again. Watch at what she does. She says, I and my maidens will fast. You have to believe that in that somewhere, there was some praying going on, right? Those two are always associated together. So there had to be some praying going on that when she faced that moment of fear, when she was terrified, when she faced that truth, I'm going to die in this, but I'm going to do it anyways, and if I perish, I perish. She faced the king in her fear, right? That was her fear, facing the king. She faced the king in her faith, right? But this is what I'm going to do first. He says, I'm going to fast before God before I do that. Now remember what did Jesus do the night before he was arrested and tried and later crucified the next morning? What did he do in light of that? Facing the fear of the cross, Facing the fear of the cross that he knew was coming and was intimate, it was certain that he was going to be crucified. What did he do? Understand, yes, he is God in the flesh, but he is also human, just like you and I. Understand that the humanity of Christ, no doubt, must have expressed some type of fear, but he did not. Now listen, folks. Fear is an emotion that God gives you to alert you to danger. Fear is an emotion that God gives you to alert you to danger. That in and of itself is not a sin. But you never let fear manage your life, because that is sin. You never let fear manage your life because that is sin. What if we took the word worry and replaced it with fear? You say, well, everybody, I get it. I do too. But Scripture tells us not to do that. In that moment when Christ went to the garden to pray, and remember what did Esther say? Remember what says, she says, I and my friends will fast. Well, what did Jesus do? He said, I'll take my friends, his followers, right? I'll take my friends. I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. We are friends of Jesus. He said, I'll take my friends to pray in a moment of fear. Now, what does that sound like to you? This is so good, I got to take a drink of water, seriously. Anybody want to guess what does that sound like? It should sound like the church. It should be the church. That in your deepest moments, where do you turn? Understand, God has a church for you. God constituted and instituted the church. He has a fellowship of believers, a church for you to be a part of, for His people, for His friends, right? For His followers, for His people who have been through moments like that. Moments of fear or concern where they can come, right? Where they can come them go themselves, where other believers and friends can come alongside you and they can pray with you for God to intervene, to walk with you, to carry you if need be. This should be that place. That in that time of moment that you could call upon your friends, your church, to come alongside of you and pray with you. In fact, let's do this. Just stand. Maybe you're here this morning and there's a desperateness in your life. I don't know what it's over. There's no possible way I could know what it's over. It could be many things. Maybe only you and God knows. But we just want to come alongside of you in prayer. But there is a desperateness in your life right now. It's in some kind of way, it's family, marriage, finances, your job, your faith. I don't have any idea. The question is, remember I asked you earlier, why don't we? Why don't we? Would you let us love you by praying with you as you wait on God's timing? Listen, you need the support of that if you're waiting on God's timing. Trust me. You need the prayer support of your friends and your family here at this church. The next question is this. Will you put your faith in Jesus Christ? And in doing that, you'll begin to experience that quiet courage that only God can bring into you. And you'll begin to understand, at least be sensitive to the timing of God. And you'll discover in your life a new level of discipline that had never been there before, that can never happen if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So listen, so the next question is, why not reach out this morning and take the cross? Won't you take the offer of forgiveness of God's grace? Why would you not take up the cross and say, this morning, I'm giving you, Lord, I'm giving you my life, I'm giving you my future, my eternity, I'm giving it all to you, Jesus. Trust me when I tell you, He already has it all worked out. I see people shaking their head. Yep, yep. Now, all you people shaking your heads, is it easy? No. But can you endure it? Yes. You want to know why? Simple. It is so simple. On my own, I can bear not absolutely very much. I can't bear very much. But in Christ, all things are. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that all of us in this moment in time, your time, Lord, that we would seek your will and your way for our lives, that we would move past the desperateness that's holding us down and holding us back. That we would move past that, and Lord, we would say, come, Lord Jesus, come into our lives, Lord. We would come and say, I'm going to trust in you, Lord. I'm going to trust you by faith that you will move in my life. And Lord, give me the patience, Lord, to wait on your timing if need be. Lord, let me surround myself by people of faith that will hold me up in this time. I'm not alone. Your word says you'll never leave me or forsake me, and that you've left a great comforter, and you also left me my friends, my church. I just pray, Lord, in these moments that our response would honor you, and you would give us the strength that we need to endure. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're not without hope. You're not without hope. God is for you. And if He is for you, who can be against you?
Once was lost, but now I am found.
How sweet the sound. Amen. Listen, before we dismiss to go down, I just want you to look around. Look, we're family. We may not always get along. We may not always agree, but we're not enemies. We're friends. So you, before you leave, you know as you leave this place, you have friends in this place. You have people who care about you and people who are willing to pray with you and walk with you. So don't ever forget that. Now, let's get to important business. It's time to eat. That's really not the important business. That's just a byproduct, all right? But as we go down to eat, I want to ask, where'd Brother Steve go? Brother Steve, would you pray for our meal before we go?
Father God, we love you, and God, just thank you for each person that's here today. Lord, we ask that as we go downstairs for fellowship, you bless our food. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come join us for dinner. Come join us.
Oh, I can see you now.